back to Girls Unscripted episode 4. It's actually crazy. We're on our fourth episode
that
already.
That is wild.
And Carolyn is back from Puerto Rico.
I am back from Puerto Rico.
That's amazing. We did miss you. We had fun having Nick here, but I missed all of your Vanderpump knowledge on this futon.
Oh, that's interesting. That's what you missed was my knowledge. I feel like you're the knowledge girl and I'm the like hype girl.
I mean, look, I missed more than just the knowledge, but most of
my sexy body.
I mean, beautiful face.
Yeah.
The new balayage hairstyle.
It's natural. I don't know what you're
it's
talking
about. It's just natural
about.
Blonde streaks.
Did I choose my hairdresser because they did a few Vanderpump cast members' hair? I'm going to leave it to you to wonder.
Okay, and while they're wondering, who have they done?
Kristen.
Oh, you don't know. Kristen has nice hair, actually.
Dodie, and I think she's done Sheena's. I'll find
so
out.
So all the brunettes. Exactly. Just the brunette cast members.
Which fits what the
exactly
what we're going for here.
I did wait until you were back to bring... This is the beautiful pump candle.
My God.
This is what I stole from Pump. It's quite elaborate, obviously.
I almost don't think you should get your oily hands on it.
And
this is
the candle. I know.
Needs it's to be
artifact.
In a museum.
So I'm going to now put it back on our little showcase.
We need to get it a proper candle and light that thing ceremoniously. Or place it under someone's photo when they need some spotlight. Oh, that made my day.
Yes. So if you are only listening and not watching, our pump candle is now a part. We have a bookshelf behind us, a shrine, if you will, of Vanderpump Rules stuff. So, all right, so let's get into it. This was definitely a Sandoval redemption arc episode.
Truly was. I feel like it's been coming.
And we knew it was coming, and I just wasn't ready for it yet, but it's like in full swing. And I will say it was a little tough watching because of that New York Times article that came out.
Woof.
Yeah, that wasn't the best. I feel like we could talk about that at the end.
Woof, we can talk about that at the end.
But yeah, we will talk about all the New York Times article stuff at the end because it is interesting.
It is juicy, and it made me read the New York Times, so
it made me
hallelujah.
Subscribe to the New York Times.
$3.99, baby.
Let's start, you know how we always start. We go from the beginning to the end of the episode.
We start at the beginning where it all begins.
And we started with James and Allie prepping for their first pool party.
I literally wrote no notes here because there was nothing of true substance for me.
Yeah, the beginning of the episode is always a little tough for me because it's like shot of Katie
a
brushing
lot of B-roll.
Her teeth.
Yeah,
I'm like over it. But I did say the fact that James spent $2,000 on this on that pool party that we witnessed. $2,000 for them to jump off a roof and a grill to catch on fire. We'll talk about the pool party
for
later.
Like eight people.
It was crazy, but it did give me like Sandoval vibes because Sandoval and Ariana used to have those like big elaborate pool parties, which I wish I got invited to. They looked so fun.
I know. I was just gonna say, even this one I wish I were invited to. This one's more my speed for like where I am at life now.
Fair. See, I would lean more towards like
yeah, but even
Sandoval party,
Sandoval party, aka like James's engagement to Raquel, same vibe of like spectacular, out of this world.
And we can actually also listen to the most recent episode of Rachel Goes Rogue, which we can talk about at the end as well, because remind me, I have some things. Rachel talked about that engagement and it was juicy, but we'll talk about that at the end.
God, you're always one step ahead.
Do you now believe me that Allie hates James? Because it was really quick, but they're like getting ready for the pool party and he like asks her a simple question and she was so fucking sassy back to him. I don't remember what it was, but she was just basically like, no, James. No, like she wanted those cameras to cut so she could stop talking to that man.
It was not that moment, but it was the moment later when he disclosed that she had moved out for
a little bit
and taken the cats.
Very
and I was
casual.
Like, okay, so clearly she is putting on more of a smile here than I gave her credit for.
100%. She's a smile and nod type of gal when those cameras are on.
Yeah.
Then we get into maybe not my favorite part of the episode, but kind of up there, when Ariana reveals that her and Katie had the same Lyft driver.
What the fuck?
That's crazy. The amount of time that we've lived in LA, have you ever had the same Lyft driver?
Well, I was like, I wonder if I have, and I just didn't realize it because they didn't realize it until he was like, hey,
right,
I've had you
something.
Before.
That actually did happen to me one time. I had the same Lyft driver. I didn't realize it, but when the guy picked me up, oh, wait, no, it wasn't the same Lyft driver. but he actually was my neighbor, but I didn't know. And I lived in like this duplex, and the people that lived above us, there was like 20 people that lived there. It was a mess, definitely illegal. He picked me up and he goes, do you live in that back house? And I said, yes. And he goes, I actually used to live above you. And I wouldn't have known, because like I said, it was like a hostel up there. It was so weird. And he goes, yeah, it was when I first moved to LA. I didn't have any friends and you guys were having a party and you invited me
that
down.
Is something you would do.
He was like, you invited me down to your party and like I hung out and it was so nice and I had such a fun time. I do think I do remember him, and he was a little weird, but
so you regretted that invite.
I actually didn't regret it at all, because it did. You never know what's gonna make somebody's day.
LA is a lonely place sometimes.
And he remembered that. He was like, yeah, it was like 2 years ago. And that's it so made me sweet. Feel really happy that he remembered it.
And she's a good person.
I know. What more could you ask for?
It's rude.
The most fucked up part though is if there were ever a time for a Lyft driver to have a dash cam, this would be the time. Here's another question. How many Lyfts have you been in that have dash cams?
Majority these days.
So, like, all of them in LA. And for this one to not?
I think the craziest thing is that he had clearly no idea what a gold mine he was sitting on. I think America needs to find this man.
Oh, Nick Vile is already on it. No. He's going to... Well, I just assume he's going to... Nick Vile, he
has his ways.
I'm getting... He wants that interview. I need to have the Lyft driver and Anne alone in a room for about 2 hours. So
I need
I can
2 days.
Ask them like any. Yeah.
I need a full weekend.
A couple days.
Yeah. And like 6 bottles of wine for one night. Okay,
and
so we need way more wine than that for 2 days.
Let's get to the bottom of it.
And the last thing I'll say about that is Katie's comment. She made me laugh, which just was, it just doesn't happen often, of that she'd rather eat a jean jacket then go to Tahoe, and
good.
I am banking that in my pocket for a saying for the rest of my life.
No, that was good, because the feeling of eating a jean jacket, it was really good. It was
it's
a good
poetic
descriptor.
In
it
a
was
way.
A really good descriptor.
Yeah, that was a good job.
Then Sheena and Lala go to Villa Rosa. That was one of the toughest scenes of Vanderpump Rules for me that I've watched in a really long time.
Besides Donut.
I have nothing to say about Donut. This woman has too many fucking dogs. Too many dogs that look like they're taxidermied.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is up with Donut? Donut, please. Lisa Vanderpump hasn't touched a donut in 30 years.
I love all the dogs' names. I just felt like I had to say something, because last week our guest host, Nick, was like all up on
oh
the pet
gosh,
shit.
You're right.
And I felt inferior. So point for me.
Oh,
Donut it is.
Oh yeah, she got your
yeah.
ass, Nick.
Yeah.
She got your ass.
Fucking yeah.
And then so they're sitting there and they're like having their conversation. The way that Lisa is like arranging the flowers while talking about Sandoval was almost like villain-esque to me. She's like putting the roses in the vase and she's like, I had a conversation with Sandoval last night. Like she scares me.
Do you do improv? Have you ever done improv before?
No.
It was giving, like, you always, like, they say, give an activity you can do with your hands as the basis to start a scene, to be like, okay, so you're arranging a bouquet scene.
Oh, it did feel kind of weird. Like, why do you need to do this flower arrangement right
now? She could have just had a normal conversation.
And they were like, it was like right in front of her face. It was actually yeah. like very cinematic. Mm-hmm. I wrote down, it's hard for me to watch Lisa try and stand up for Sandoval when both Sheena and Lala are bringing up such good and valid points as to why they don't want to mm-hmm. side with Sandoval. Like, mm-hmm. I think Lisa is reaching, and Sheena and Lala have really valid reasons as to why they don't want to be on his side. And Lisa's still like, you just need to be nicer to him. You need to include him. And yes, like Sandoval's talked just as much shit as Sheena and Lala have, mm-hmm. but not as many people are listening.
That's
Sandoval.
Such a good point. I agree with you. I also feel where Lisa's coming from, because she introduced the first and you know how I am with it's not an or, it's an and proposition that you can lay up on Sandoval and still not affiliate with him entirely. Like there is, it's not just a yes or no situation.
No, that's fair. I feel like if that's all she was asking, I don't feel like that's all she was asking.
You think she was implying that they do much more? When Sheena said, is it worth losing Ariana over, I did not like Lisa's response. It wasn't very strong. We'll talk to her about it.
Oh,
and it's like,
yeah.
Well, bitch, you know what it's going to sound like when she talks to her about it.
Right. I guess I just feel like Lisa was putting Tom's mental health on Sheena and Ariana's shoulders.
Agreed. And Lala mentioned that in the after show.
I listened to the after show too. That was actually, I really enjoyed this week's after show.
Yeah, me too.
Also, side note about the after show, Sheena and Ariana are not fucking friends anymore.
I was gonna say that.
They are not friends anymore.
Wow.
And I think there's a reason that Katie is with Ariana
of
in the interviews.
And fucking
then
is.
Lala,
have you noticed
James
even already this season, it is Katie and Ariana.
That's a true friend. Also, Sheena and Ariana, they became friends when they were like 21. Like, sometimes those friendships don't last, and that's okay.
And Sheena talks about it as if they knew each other in the womb.
But not she's on the after show, though.
Oh, my God.
I knew Sandoval first.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Girl, what are you doing? I think that Lisa was putting Sandoval's mental health struggles on their shoulders. I do think that Lisa knows that she can manipulate Sheena, and she always has. Sheena is her puppet, and Sheena will do anything.
Well, Lisa
she
knows
has.
She can manipulate any one of them, as she has bestowed upon them the life that they never would have had.
You know who she can't manipulate, in my opinion?
Lala?
No, Ariana. I don't think Ariana stands for that
She
bullshit.
Can still manipulate Ariana. You know why? Because in the reunion, remember how like bitchy Ariana was, essentially telling Lisa to her face, I just can't, you know, and Lisa clapped back when she said this, but she essentially said, anyone that associates with Tom, I will not be associating with. And Lisa was like, that's not fair. What do you want me to do?
Right.
She now still talks to Lisa. Like,
yeah,
you know,
fair,
like,
fair, fair. She can't
she's
not.
Never going to just write off right. Lisa
she
Vanderpump.
She can't not. I also just don't understand why Lisa is relying on Lala and Sheena to save Tom. And they say this in the after show too, versus like Ariana says, if you actually cared about his mental health, Lala and Sheena aren't going to do anything. Go get him professional help.
Said by someone who has gotten professional help.
Yes, 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 yes. She's definitely holding, Lisa's holding the girls way more accountable than she's holding Sandoval.
Again, devil's advocate though. She has gone through something horrific with her own brother, and God forbid something did happen to Sandoval or Rachel, that would be catastrophic on so many levels, and there would be new laws in place to protect reality people. I mean,
Bethany Frankel.
I was gonna say, and Bethany Frankel would be the first one there knocking at the door to be involved. Whose fault would it be? And would America feel bad?
Yes, America would feel
bad. Do you think so?
Yeah.
But the vitriol and the hate, like,
it's not fair. Here's the thing, and I said this, I think, last episode. I do feel bad for Tom Sandoval.
Yeah.
I do feel bad. I do have sympathy and empathy, I guess, over what he's going through and all the hate he's getting. But he's not reacting to it in a way that makes me feel bad for him. I feel bad for what's happening to him.
Oh,
but
he's reacted to it like a sociopath.
Right. So it is. And it's just.
I.e. the New York Times article, which we'll get to.
It's just this is a really hard topic to even talk about. I will say what Rachel said on Rachel Goes Rogue is it was really hard for her to watch last episode for Lisa to take Tom's mental health struggles so seriously and be so worried for him. But never once did she reach out to Rachel.
I do think Lisa is a loyal bitch. Say what you want about her as a housewife or anything else. Time has shown that she has her people and she fucking sticks to them. Well, okay, never mind Kyle Richards. Okay, I'm thinking of a lot of exceptions right now. But for example, Sheena Shea, that whole plotline started. Well, maybe it's because of the show. Maybe I was fooled. But that whole plotline started because she said to Brandy, who Sheena had slept with Brandy's husband, like, I'm not going to just nix this girl out of my life.
She needed
Sheena. Thus, the show was born. So yeah, maybe I'm just fucking wrong.
To play devil's advocate, Lisa will stand by who she needs. Why do you think she stands by Tom and Tom so hard? The answer is in the name.
Tom and Tom.
And Rachel does say this on the most recent episode of Rachel Goes Rogue. She goes on this whole spiel of how Lisa will always take the men on the show under her wing. Mm. And she says, and I quote, to Lisa, the women are disposable. Now, just think about it. Aside from Sheena, I mean, Sheena hasn't really done anything but kiss Lisa's ass. Look at the way that she's treating Tom and James versus Raquel. Look at the way she's treating, you know, Sandoval versus Kristen. How is the way that Tom yelled at Lisa at Pump last episode any different than the way that Kristen has talked back to Lisa? And Kristen's the one that gets fired and banned from restaurants.
Kristen's such a hot mess, though. I think just
and
in
Tom
general,
Sandoval isn't.
That's a good point. But he's a bigger brand of a hot mess.
That's fair.
And he brings more sales.
Yeah, that's true. He brings in more sales. No, I like that we're having contradicting views.
This is great for us.
Yeah.
And for the podcast.
Yeah.
But
we should get in a fight.
We should absolutely hit each other. We should throw down. I still agree with you, though. It's like all of these things are on a spectrum.
Yeah.
Again, devil's advocate. If she did not address the mental health of this entire situation,
she physically has to.
Due to her brother and her responsibility to these people on the show and the network and like the population of America.
Yeah.
So she had to do something.
I'm not blaming Lisa. I'm blaming Lisa for blaming Lala and Sheena. That's how I took this.
Well, who was she supposed to talk to? For the show, but she had to do something on
the show.
She's
supposed to go, doop, 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 doop. Hello? Yes, is this a mental health specialist?
Yeah, but
someone close to me is threatening suicide and he needs
such
help.
Such a boring scene. You work in TV, you know, like, where's the episode? Where's the arc in that?
That's true. That's actually, and then she's going to be like, you know what? Never mind. Sheena, Lala, do you guys want to come over?
Next best thing. Therapist, Sheena and Lala. The voices of reason of our generation. Well, this had nothing to do with it, but Sheena saying, or was it Lala? Lake house and a boat and nine men.
That was Sheena. That was funny.
That was funny, but it's also setting up, I think Sheena does this a lot of like excuses. Like, I don't know, I'm going to do this thing, but there's a boat and there's a lake house and there's a thing.
So then she can say, I just wanted to come because there was a lake house and a boat.
Exactly. Wow. And we're going to hear that over and over again of like, I didn't think it was a big deal. No. And we'll get to the other scene where they talk like that.
You heard it here first. If she starts saying that shit, that's so true.
On repeat.
Damn.
Just like we noted how Anne was giving child of divorced parents energy.
Yes.
Sheena and Lala were giving kids getting a talking to from their parent energy. I mean, it was like a sit down. They have their backs up straight and they're just going to say whatever. They never come out of those conversations with a disagreement with Lisa Vanderpump. I'll just say that.
They know how
this works.
They know the hand that feeds them.
Exactly.
And they ain't biting.
They ain't
biting. I agree with that. So then we go to the pool party, and this is also like intertwined with Tom Sandoval's cold plunge. And it's just the juxtaposition between this like super fun, sunny pool party and then this like dark, ominous cold plunge that Sandoval's fucking doing. It was amazing. These editors are so good.
Into Misi. I want to go there now.
That was the place. We were watching with a big group and we all were kind of like, damn, we can actually go for a cold plunge. That looks pretty good.
Well, you know who was having intimacy was Billy Lee and Sandoval in that room.
No, it was just Billy Lee. Sandoval was doing his own thing and she was like,
No, you're leaving. What's missing from your eyes is the feeling of bewilderment and wonder and love. I think if I were her, I would take that screenshot and give it to Disney and be like, do you need an example of someone seeing fireworks for the first time in their entire goddamn life?
She did kind of give like Disney princess vibes.
I mean, it was just
She's in love.
She is obsessed with him.
And I don't even know, look, I know there's a lot of rumors if they've hooked up or whatever. I'm not even going to sit here and be like, she's in love with him like romantically. Let's take the romance aside. Like, she is obsessed with him as a human.
Yeah, but I also think romantically.
Yeah, I listened. You know, Billie Lee has a podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
I listened to it. She had Sandoval on.
Of course you did.
And at one point in the podcast, she was like, and she actually kind of said this in the episode last night too. She goes, I'm just so fucking pissed off that like you do one thing wrong and the world turns against you. And even Sandoval had to go, well, I mean, I've done more than one thing wrong. Like, girl, let's be real.
Billie Lee. But that made me laugh, LOL, so hard.
My thing with, when I saw Billie Lee walk into the cold plunge area, I did think to myself what I would do to be a fly on the wall at Bravo headquarters when they decided they have no other choice but to bring Billie Lee back. It's like, well, you know, she was a total flop and completely slandered the show. And after Bravo let her go, she talked nothing but shit on everyone. But Lisa and Schwartz are busy today and Tom needs someone to talk to.
Here's our list. Yeah.
Let's bring in Billie Lee.
Yeah, Schwartz, X.
Lisa, busy.
Busy.
It was very weird. Yeah, I just wrote Billie watching Tom cold plunging. Weird.
Back at the pool party, there's another plant.
Oh, I thought you meant plant like someone was planted. Like an industry plant.
Way to plant and no.
Oh my God. It's kind of weird.
Where is he getting all of them?
Oh my God. He's just taking them from his house. He doesn't have enough fucking room. Have you seen his living room?
It's like a treadmill and plants.
It's yes. Oh my God. I'm so over all this sober curious stuff. And I know that's not necessarily fair for me to say, but I need someone to get fucked up. I need a drunk fight. I need slurred words. Like, I'm bored. And you know it's boring when we spend 5 minutes watching a slow-mo compilation of James Kennedy jumping off of his roof.
Yep. And the fact that we even watched this entire exchange between Lala and Allie, if Lala can have a conversation with James. Like,
yeah, why did we even? Well, I think because they wanted to keep in the part of Allie saying, like, you'll have to ask James.
Oh,
because I think she wanted to know what James was going to say. Now, taking this back to 2 episodes ago that you and I did on here, Girls Unscripted episode 2, at the end of the episode, we did address the domestic abuse allegations.
Yep.
And I think there's probably a bit more to that story of Allie and James's breakup.
Oh my God. Mind blown. That's probably what they were.
And she probably didn't know what to say or what James wanted to reveal. So she was like, my hands are clean. You talk to James about
this. And this is clearly all hypothetical.
Speculation.
Speculation 100%. But if it's true. If it's true, that adds a whole nother layer to your Allie theory that I again would be proven wrong if she's still in this relationship despite possible bad behavior.
There, do you know what Two Teas in a Pod is?
Yeah.
The Tamara and Teddy podcast. I only saw clips of this because look, I can't listen to everything.
I was going
to
say, you have a job.
But this is my job.
Besides this
is my career.
This is your career. Yeah.
I did listen to their full interview. They interviewed the Toms and they mentioned how they don't like James because of this thing. They can't talk about it, but they don't like him because of this thing. Then they do another episode where they talk about the thing and they
car ride.
They were in a car coming home from some award show. James and Allie got in a huge fight. They were afraid for her well-being. One of them took Allie out of the car or something like that. But they haven't talked about it since then. So I don't really know what's going on there.
Well, Allie commented on that. I don't know if you were
on Sheena's podcast. Yeah. And she denied it.
It's so sad that it was brought up so much because all that happened was just a silly little argument.
I'm not going to lie. That's a phenomenal Allie impression.
Thank you so much. We need to get scripts out and do readings.
Oh my God.
ASAP.
I've been complimented on my Sandoval impression on TikTok.
Man.
I'll read it. I'll do it for you later.
Okay. I'm so excited. Yeah.
And look, again, speculation. But if that were true, it would make sense as to why like she hasn't come forward because she's trying to solidify her spot on that show.
She wants a spot on the wall. She wants a spot on the wall. And I think she'll get it.
It was funny though watching.
If there's another season, sorry.
There won't be. You know what I think? I'll just say it right now. I think that it will be over after season 11, but I think Lala and Sheena are going to hop onto the Valley.
I think it'll be over season 11 unless they get Rachel to come back.
Fair. And at this point, it's looking likely, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, she's dipping her toe back into the public pond.
Dude, she's up to her fucking knee in that pond.
She has things to say.
She is about to jump in. It was funny watching Allie and Lala have this serious conversation about James's sobriety. Meanwhile, he's chugging a THC drink and his grill is on fire.
That he spent so much money on.
The conversation between Schwartz and Lala, I didn't know they were cool.
This was such a big conversation to get them to cool. I think they were really uncool. Wait, did you not know that they were uncool?
That's what I'm saying. I knew they were uncool, but it felt like we just like cut to a conversation with Schwartz and Lala. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like, when the fuck did this become a thing? And it was a really nice conversation.
You know how you're a Sheena girl and you ride for her? I think I'm a Lala girl.
Oh, I love Lala as well.
I think I ride for Lala. But she does this a lot where it'll just be like flip switch. 180.
Yeah.
Where is that? And she'll be super passionate about it one way and the other way and the third way and the fourth way.
It's such a perfect example too. If you watch the episode of Vanderpump Rules and then the after show and her like opinion is completely different in each.
Opposite. But she gets so passionate.
Like as if she's been saying this shit the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, that's
true. It makes it difficult to ride for her, but I've accepted that character flaw.
When Tom went on Billy Lee's podcast, they made him do a kill, marry, fuck of Sheena, Lala, and Ariana. And what he should have done is not answer.
Right.
But instead, he killed Lala, married Ariana, and fucked Sheena. But he did say Sheena and Ariana was a toss-up. And I talked about that on TikTok, and people were commenting like, I'd marry Lala. Like
everyone
was like, that's fucked up. I'd obviously marry Lala.
Because you know, if we ride for her, she ride for us.
Yeah.
Until she doesn't.
She's yeah. Until we fuck up a little bit, yeah. And then she's like putting our toothbrush in her ass. She did that with Randall. It was in her book. I can't even talk about that right now.
I can't believe you read the book.
I did. I listened to it online. It was actually really good.
Well, as a solidified writer, I will read it too.
It was great. Best of the VPR books. Then there's this conversation about Sandoval with Sheena, Ariana, and Katie. I agree with what Ariana is saying, like, about Tom. But I just wish Sheena, instead of like, well, you know, he like was my friend and blah, blah, blah. Just fucking say you want to be friends with him again. Ariana, I see where you're coming from, but I've been friends with Tom for a long time. I just can't completely cut him out of my life yet.
There's no world where she would do that.
She wouldn't, but no, I want her to.
No world in the Marvel series or any of those comics. No, never
her
would happen.
Life would just be so much easier if she would just tell people what she wanted to
do. I agree, Sheena. I mean, I'm speaking to you directly now. I agree.
She's listening.
Because she is listening. And she said on one of the after shows, it made me sad when she was like, I've never been the favorite on the show. I think if
she said she's never been the queen bee.
The queen bee. But she kind of also hinted at like, I've not been like as the number one liked. I think if she had her own voice and stood up for that, she's never gonna do that to Ariana, because Ariana is queen bee right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what did she say on the after show this week, that she doesn't have boundaries or something like that, or I'm not good at boundaries, and she said something like that. But I just, if you really feel this way, just tell her that like it's what you want to do. I don't know, she's, and if Ariana is going to be like, well then fuck you, Sheena, I'm never talking to you again, then she's not your friend.
But you know that's easier said than done. It's like harder to break up with friends than it is exes.
Look, let me tell you a story.
Okay, I'm listening.
I had a boyfriend.
What?
One time I had a boyfriend.
Shut up.
And we were together for 6+ years, and we broke up over a similar situation. Mm-hmm. And I hated him, and I didn't want anyone to be friends with him. But I knew, and this is before Scandal, I knew that if I made my friends make a choice, I felt that would like leave a bad taste in their mouth. So I told everyone, I'm not going to make you choose, because mm-hmm. you were friends with both of us. We were together for a long time. Like, you can still be friends with him if you want. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I won't be mad at you. Deep down, I was a little mad when people would hang out with him. But guess what?
It teetered.
It fizzled out.
Yeah.
And none of them hang out with him anymore. And they all hang out with me. And now no one's mad at me, because I didn't make anybody make a choice that they didn't want to do.
Which I agree with too, because it's like the nature of the beast. Let it play out. If they're meant to be friends with each other, then they'll stay friends with each other.
Right.
If it was just friends via you, they'll figure that out and it'll fizzle. Like,
they're going to see, if they choose to stay friends with Sandoval, they're going to see him for who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Let them discover it. Don't tell them.
And be honest about it. Because I do think Sheena also struggles with like, well, I don't know. I think in her mind, he was a different person, and she's grappling with if he still is that person in her mind or not. I think she just needs
to accept an ex,
a good version. I think she needs to get rid of that from the dry erase board and just accept for what is there.
No, I fully agree with you. I'm also tired of people saying that Ariana is being like a bitch or she's being petty, because realistically, she's just having boundaries. And we have to keep in mind that even though for us, it's been like a year after Scandoval and we're just like so oversaturated with it and we're kind of over it, for her, it had only been like 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Her partner of 10 years mm-hmm. just cheated on her in the most horrible way. And up until this point, like in the show, he had been gone in New Zealand. Like, they haven't had to like intermingle. This is so fresh for her, and she's allowed to not be over it. Let her be fucking mad.
She's someone that already has RBF to begin with.
Facts.
Resting bitch face.
Facts.
But she also talks like someone who's been to, my favorite word, therapy. The way she talks about boundaries and what is her responsibility and feelings and what are other people's responsibility, clearly she's been doing her part of the equation to like do herself some deep work inside.
100%.
But she can come off rude. And I think that's a separate problem than her like putting up boundaries or anything. I think she can be softer on her delivery.
Do you think that people would have the same reaction to Ariana, like she's being petty, she's being bitch, whatever, if she were a man and Tom were a woman?
Absolutely not.
Right, like, they,
absolutely
no
not.
One would be begging him to stay friends. Like, no one would be like, asking people to forgive her.
Yep. Nope. That's just my hard answer. No.
That's
no
a
way.
No.
It's a double standard for
and
sure.
And they say like, good, stand your ground. Like, fuck that bitch. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah. It's like.
And he would look like the strong man who just knows what he wants. And that's self-respect. And,
yeah, it's stupid.
And she doesn't look like that. We mentioned this on a previous episode, but I just want to repeat my theory and make sure that you're still on this theory as well. That him talking about loving Raquel is utter bullshit because it's like a character redeeming move. For him to say that he's saving himself for Raquel is the biggest like kind of moment on the show. And by this point, he's been seen with multiple women. It's not like he hasn't.
I don't
seen
know that
anyone.
He has yet. Because he just got
wasn't
back
confirmed,
from Special Forces.
Well, I think even before that, I mean, it wasn't confirmed that he had hooked up with them, but there were sightings of like,
oh,
new
fair.
Girl,
like right
new
after,
girl,
yeah.
Who's this?
Let me explain you the timeline per Rachel on Rachel Goes Rogue.
Yep.
So, because she talks about
she
this.
She does
so
talk about this.
I'm really glad you brought it up. She got out of her mental health facility on July 3rd. Sandoval's birthday is July 7th.
I cannot believe you're calling this from memory, but yes, please go.
Well, I made a TikTok about it, so I had to write it down. And Sandoval's birthday was July 7th. So she said on her podcast, like, yeah, he obviously expected me to reach out to him, and then I didn't. And I think, you know, after that, he kind of started to realize this is done. But at the point of the show that we're seeing right now, she thinks that he still thinks there's a chance she's going to come back to the show. So he's kind of like setting it up. I hope Raquel's doing okay. You know, I still love her, blah, blah, blah. Because he wants her to make this like big grand entrance and have them be together in this love story. And she suspects, Rachel suspects that when Sandoval starts to, when it hits him that they are done and she's not coming back, we're going to see him turn on her.
It's already starting in the after show.
That's exactly what Rachel said. She said, watch the after show. He's turning me on. You know, her podcast is good. It's
I was going to just piggyback on that too. You would think it would be really bad because she's not known for public speaking. AKA, we watched that whole plot line of her giving like a toast.
Yes.
At like a drunken winter event or something. But she is surprisingly articulate.
No, she's been good in that podcast.
Her pageantry, I mean, I guess it's paying off. Now, it's as slow as a turtle on Xanax. Like
you gotta watch that. You gotta listen on like 1.5.
You gotta go like 1.5 at least. I've been on 1.8. That's been good for me.
Oh, good to know.
But it is a good podcast.
No, it is. It is. It is jarring when you're on 1.8 and then the commercials start. And you're
God. It's like an electrocution.
It is. It feels like that. Another thing, I'll just say this now, because it kind of has to do with that, about how she thinks Sandoval's kind of like setting up the show for her comeback. That's what she says about the proposal that Sandoval paid for James. So she talks about it on her podcast and she says, you know, I know a lot of you think that Tom and I were together from before we were saying, like during my proposal. We were not.
Okay. I believe her.
I believe her too. But the reason that he spent all that money from his mouth, so according to Tom, according to Rachel, is because it was the COVID season and he said that this would be really good for the show. This proposal would be really good for the show. So everything he was kind of doing was like for the cameras to make it a memorable season. And it just further proves that like Tom Sandoval's life is a TV show. He treats his life, it is not his life. His life is Vanderpump Rules. He is Vanderpump Rules and everything he does is for a storyline. His life is a storyline.
I don't know if it's too soon to go there, but this was articulated very well in the New York Times article. His life is very blurred between TV show and real life. There is it lives somewhere in the middle for him. Like he does not have a reality. He doesn't have a TV show.
Right.
He's right here.
Right.
And I think everything he does, it filters. Like the first filter in his brain is show.
Yeah.
And then the next filter, like way down here in the bottom are emotions or like people's feelings.
She also, Rachel says like one of the words Tom Sandoval loves to use is optics.
Optics.
And
yes.
That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like everything, he thinks in terms of optics.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing a very good job of it.
No, well, his publicist was a 23-year-old.
Let's talk about the New York Times.
Okay,
article.
Let's just jump
we'll talk.
Into
we'll
it.
Talk about the rest of the episode after. His publicist, well, it was someone from his publicity team. But why would you send if I were a publicist and the New York motherfucking Times?
A crisis publicist, let's specify.
Okay, well, yeah. They suck. The New York motherfucking Times is coming to interview Tom Sandoval, and you send your not only your 23-year-old representative, but one who has outwardly said, I'm a fan of Vanderpump Rules.
I love the show.
And I've been watching since middle school.
That's your security blanket for this interview? Oh my God. Just can't write that stuff.
Like, no, you literally can't. So if you haven't seen it, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but the big headline that came from this article was that he compared his situation to one of O.J. Simpson and, more importantly, George Floyd, which is an insane thing to say. It is an insane thing to say. So apparently in the article, he said that. And then a little bit after, he like went upstairs to start getting ready for the night out. And the publicist, the 23-year-old girl that was there, says to the interviewer, sometimes he says things.
And he doesn't remember it.
And then forgets what he says the next day. And then she like ran upstairs to talk to him. So this interviewer was supposed to go to a confessional with him the next day. And Tom mysteriously canceled. Then this interviewer is getting calls from Bravo like, what did he say about George Floyd exactly?
He is a liability. I was wondering, I was going to Google his publicist history if we have it, because I'm sure he's been dropped before. If not, he should be now. I mean, my God, he's a liability. Getting him in front of a mic, he's not going to sound pleasant.
I wonder if he's had one before this.
I don't know. He's such an optics guy. But that is a good question. I don't know.
He's an optics guy.
I don't know. And the other big thing that came out of the article was that he claimed the night that Ariana found out about the affair, she, quote, I have it here. Fuck. So I won't say quote.
Like beat
the
shit out of me or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she kicked
Whooped my
ass.
Whooped my ass. Yeah, or something like that.
And ripped off the infamous lightning bolt necklace. Do you know what SUDs are?
No.
Subjective units of distress. No. My husband and I use these to talk about, like, my suds are at a 10 right now. Just give me some time to, like, get them
subjective
down to a 6.
Subjective units of distress.
I think it's subjective. It's some word at the beginning. But it's, like, how wound up you are. And the higher your suds are, the more likely you are to lash out at people.
Oh,
and,
like,
say things that you don't mean and blah. It just gets worse and worse. So suds were probably at an 11.
Yeah, a duh.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if something happened.
He also compared himself to Danny Masterson.
He compared him to him?
He said, I'm getting more hate. Something like, I'm getting more hate than Danny Masterson. And he's a convicted rapist. That's what he said verbatim.
Yeah. Okay. That adds up.
This New York Times article is wild. I would recommend reading it. Oh, another part thing I thought was interesting at the end of the article was the come to Jesus meeting Alex Baskin had to call with the cast at the end because no one would film with Sandoval. So he basically had to call them all to like Evolution's offices and be like, look, we can work this out. But after this season, I don't know.
AKA, if you want a job, you got to come to Sir and let him be in the next room.
I think Alex Baskin is over Vanderpump Rules. And I think that's why he's really leaning into the Valley. And I like, mark my motherfucking words. The Valley will go on for at least 2 seasons and there will be Vanderpump people full time. Like Sheena and Lala, like current Vanderpump people on season 2.
Oh, yo, absolutely. Sheena can't wait.
Sheena just bought a house in the Valley.
Oh, what a coincidence. What a,
Sheena would. She would buy a house.
She sets
and be like,
herself up for success.
Yeah, like she's smart.
She's a smart.
She knows what she's doing.
Okay, another thing the New York Times article does really well is like give us snippets into how Sandoval is. And it is, sounds like he is exactly as the show portrays him. Like the quotes of Riley, the 23-year-old, remembered watching that episode with her middle school friends, which is beyond. And she goes, we were like, this show is epic, she said. Sandoval said, dude, it was epic.
I remember reading that, like, because his life is the show. It was epic, man.
Yeah, it was epic.
Dude, you just don't, like, get it. You don't get it. This show was, like, so epic in the beginning, dude. Oh, my God, I can't with him. I took a screenshot. He did release an apology for the article.
That. Yeah.
And it was on his Instagram story, and he wrote, my intentions behind the comments I made in New York Times Magazine were to explain the level, this is in regards to the George Floyd O.J. Simpson comment, were to explain the level of national media attention my affair received. The comparison was inappropriate and ignorant. I'm incredibly sorry and embarrassed.
Do you think Riley wrote that?
The crisis PR.
The 23-year-old.
Well, then someone came out with like a fake apology, and it's so much better. It says, listen, man, it's like everyone is coming at me about my NYT article, and I get that. And this doesn't excuse anything, but Ariana hasn't paid the mortgage in 8 months. That'll be our ASMR for
that
today.
That is. I think that's you're up for that shining moment.
It was so good, so good.
I will say that apology is even 10 times better than the apology he gave to Ariana.
Carolyn, 100p.
That's why I think Riley and team was behind that one.
Yeah, hey, Riley did something right.
Yeah.
If we're going back to the show, I think next up was the conversation between Lala and James. And, you know, Lala did ask him, what made you want to get sober again? And James got real defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told the story about him and Allie, but I think he was a little, I think his suds were up.
Oh my God, I love that. I do too. Well, now you have me thinking from what we discussed earlier in the episode of like, fuck, well, what if this is more than it seems and there is something else going on? But also James gets annoyed at the most random things all
he's
the time.
He's study.
He's so study. Like I never know if it's going to be a laugh or like a
yeah, like, are you joking?
A tantrum. Yeah. Like he can be on the board.
He does say at one point, like, I don't want to be an alcoholic 40-year-old who loses everything. Was he hinting towards Tom Sandoval?
I assume so.
Yeah, good one.
I assume so. I mean, he's a funny guy.
No, he is funny. Him and Lala being sober at the same time is quite beautiful to me.
Yeah.
I don't think that they are like should be together romantically.
Never.
But they are like twin flames.
They
as much as I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I think they're so similar.
Twin flames. If you don't know up there, twin flames are like the same soul that's split into two.
Yeah.
Like they hadn't had the same journeys, which is exactly what she says in her talking head too, of like, we've just had very similar
twin
things.
Flames. Yeah, there you flames. Have it. Guess who we met this episode?
The pink haired.
No, we've already met her, but we did see her again.
Graham.
No, we did re-meet him. We did. You're right about both. One more.
Oh my God. Joe. The haircut. Yes.
That is what the commercials sound like on Rachel Goes Rogue when they're at
1.8 speed.
Better health. But no, we met Joe and I absolutely screamed when I finally saw this bitch on my screen. I was so excited, but she gave us nothing.
But Schwartz gave us a morsel saying that he did have a whirlwind romance.
We weren't like boyfriend and girlfriend, and we weren't really like together, but we did have a whirlwind romance,
which is a strong term to have a neutral stance on.
He talked about it more on Watch What Happens Live, but pretty much just said more of the same. I know we're gonna get a lot more of Joe this season because I've just seen it in clips. It did seem a bit weird them like talking about their Tahoe trip while Joe was just kind of like sitting there like listening.
Oh, just bobbing along.
Like, am I gonna get the invite? Like, oh. You're not. There
was
one
yet.
Bed left and it went to Graham.
Oh,
sorry,
sweet
sis.
Graham.
Sorry, sis.
There wasn't enough of her for me to like her or dislike her. It was pretty boring. But I do know that apparently she is a hoot of a character.
Yeah. The fact that they compared her as crazier than Kristen, which I hate when people call a woman crazy. But in this
case,
I'm here for it. They go on a double date.
Yeah.
Allie, James, Brock, Sheena. Not much to say other than I thought Brock was kind of spitting facts. I think Brock, I'm learning a bit more about him.
Yeah,
I think he's a bit brash, a bit harsh.
He can come off as Australian.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was
Give
good
me a
too.
Line, I'll say it.
Sheena doesn't really have OCD.
She doesn't really have a, I can't do it on this. Now the pressure and the eyeballs
Sheena
are on it.
And the final scene we have is at VPD, Vanderpump Dogs. My friends tell me it smells like shit in there, but it is a dog place,
That's
so what can you do?
It's a dog place.
I'll just start by saying I love that they've been trying to really make Vanderpump Dogs happen this season. This is the second time we've been there, and how fucking long? We've been there more than Sir.
The amount of storylines surrounding Lisa Vanderpump and dogs from this shelter are just... But that, you know, that's why she left the show. She left Housewives over someone leaking a story about one of the dogs to Radar Online.
It's always Radar Online.
It's so
with
stupid.
Those motherfucking Housewives.
And they take it so seriously. It's like, well, who cares? But yes, they are trying to make it a thing. I hope it's not also in jeopardy. Like some
yeah,
of these
maybe
other
it
places.
Needs business. Do you remember the show The Swan? when they would take like ugly girls and like turn
Do
them beautiful.
Do I remember it? I have night terrors about it.
Did you like
it? It's very Black Mirror-ish.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. But remember when they would like reveal the girls at the end?
Yes.
That's how I felt when Graham walked down the stairs.
Oh my God. Okay, we need to give a log line. The Swan was a reality show from the early 2000s.
That's really all you need to know.
No.
Because reality shows in the early 2000s were fucked.
Fucked up. But this one in particular, the women would go in and have as much plastic surgery as they could.
They would be like, you're ugly.
To be crowned the Swan.
They went like ugly duckling to a swan.
To a swan. Yeah. They had a recovery house. In hindsight, I wish it still was on. I would go in a heartbeat.
You know what's fucked up? I watched that as like a little girl and was like, I'd go on this show. Yeah.
I still would. All these
you
years.
You know what? A lot of people probably would actually.
They probably get like $50,000 worth
of work. Yeah, it's free. Hey, what can you do? But that is how like my jaw dropped when Graham walked down the steps. Even though I knew it was coming. I knew he was on the Tahoe trip. I have mixed feelings about it.
I have mixed feelings about it because of Rachel's POV from Rachel Goes Rogue.
Yeah.
And she gives more detail. And Lisa does, to her defense, she does say the dog bit a couple times and they took him elsewhere.
Well, and that dog was never supposed, no one was supposed to know that that dog was like in foster care.
They broke the confidentiality agreement. And apparently the dog, it is a biter.
And we have to keep in mind that there maybe was a reason that Rachel didn't want that dog going back to James.
She says that explicitly on Rachel Goes Rogue. She goes, I wanted him there. And that's the reason she wanted it confidential, so that there was no way it could get back to him.
Right.
It would get, that and you, Graham would get back to
and
him.
And you do see in the series when they were together, like he was a little rough with Graham.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird to me to surprise a young person with a dog without talking to them about it first. James would have liked it, sure.
Yeah.
But Lisa should at least hit up Allie and be like, are you cool with this? Like,
Do you think she didn't?
No, I think Allie was shocked. You saw, I think it was in the preview for next week. She was like, is that Graham? Like, Allie was like, all right, look, I gotta date this fucking drunk
the
DJ
amount
guy.
She's tolerating is just increasing.
But at least I've got this single family home with a pool and my cats, and we're all doing good. And then this evil dog walks through the door. And she's like, her suds were coming out her ears.
Yes. Suds for the win.
But I do think that like a dog is a huge responsibility. It's a big thing. I feel like maybe it should have been more of a discussion.
Well, you know my personal affiliation with this, or do you know this? My husband's parents surprised him with a cat, and they just...
I would be so mad.
...showed him with the cat. And the cat has been a source of a lot of friction in our lives, only because I'm allergic to cats. And so when I came into the picture, we couldn't live in a studio with the cat. The cat is now back with the grandparents. But all is to say, I've seen firsthand what happens when you just surprise an animal on someone, and it can go south quickly.
Why did they surprise him with the
cat? I think apparently he said, like, I could see myself with a cat one day, and he was by himself in a town, and
fair.
And they were like,
thoughtful.
Give him a friend.
What was the cat's name?
Brian with a Y. your face. The biggest stink ass.
I don't think I like that.
I love it. I love human names on pets.
Brian and Kyle.
They were literally
They sound
bros.
Like two frat bros that live together.
They were.
You guys want to go to like Kyle and Brian's house tonight?
Yes.
Actually, you know what? When I say it like that, I kind of like
the
name.
If Brian could surf, he would.
Yeah, that's actually a fact. If Brian could do keg stands, he would. Brian actually sounds fucking cool. Other than that, I just kind of have like a list of overall thoughts from this episode. And my first one is, I do miss like the old Lala. And I hate to say like the Lala that like...
The debaucherous Lala?
That like drank.
Yeah.
But I miss the Lala that was like...
Turnt.
You Bambi-eyed bitch. Like I know she is like turning over a new leaf.
You
and
know she had one direction with that version of Lala, and it was...
It was downhill.
It was prison.
Yeah. it was jail.
She girl can fight.
Yeah,
girl
that's
can have
fair.
A stance. And woo, I would not want to be in that path.
And then my final thought I had is that I would love to rewatch Vanderpump Rules now. Like knowing what I know now, it would almost be like, watching Fight Club when you already like know the ending. Because it's a completely different movie when you already know the ending. I do feel like going back and rewatching, because look, I obviously have rewatched Vanderpump a ton of times, but we're learning new info every single day.
Are you talking season 10 or like the whole thing?
No, I'm talking the entire season, and I need to study. I need to know, because right now, before Scandoval, to me, Jax was the villain. Tom was the hero, Sandoval. Yeah. Mm. Now I'd like to see if I feel differently. Like when Jax and Tom had their fallout, I'd like to know if I feel differently.
In the New York Times article, Sandoval mentions about how legendary it was when he punched Jax. It changed reality TV.
Oh, it didn't.
And so like you can look back at that now, at that moment of him being like standing up for his girlfriend to optics show punch.
You know what I just thought of? I didn't know that he said that in the article. It's funny when you...
I think it was an article. It was somewhere.
Well, but it's funny that you said that because I had to really think in my mind of when...
Of when he even punched someone.
The reality TV punch heard around the world is when Snooki got punched in the face by a man at the bar in Jersey Shore. Sorry, that's just what it is, Tom. That's the punch that changed reality TV.
Yes. I'm not even sure what you're referring to.
Well, here's the thing because, okay. Keep this in. Keep this in. If Vanderpump Rules is up here for me, Jersey Shore is just slightly
maybe
under.
Maybe that'll be season two.
I think it was season one or two of Jersey Shore. They're at a bar. Mm-hmm. And Snooki... they're like ordering shots.
And she's like, I got punched.
No, this dude socked her in the face and they aired it on TV. But now when you rewatch, it's cut out. This guy fell to the ground. She fell off the bar. No, she got fucked up.
Wow.
So anyways.
I do remember that.
That just made me mad because it's like, Tom.
The only reason I remember the punch is because I recently like rewatched, I think it was season one when that happened or season two.
It was one of the
Otherwise,
best
Otherwise, I would not remember it because Jax's nose is like pre-three nose jobs. So it was like blood everywhere.
Well, and also that's not even the biggest hit of Vanderpump Rules that I think of. Fucking Stassi slapping Kristen.
Yes.
The backhand. Damn, I was sick. I have to ask the question of the week.
Oh, that's right. Head over to our Instagram for the question of the week, which is, what's the question of the week this week?
Scandoval aside, all of this shit aside, at her core, who does Sheena like more, Tom or Ariana? It's a hard one.
Oh, dude, that we would need another hour.
It's Tom.
I would say I need gut, 1 second. Gut reaction is Tom. I don't think she would admit that to herself. And if she were asked the question, she would say, duh, Ariana. I think she's kind of in love with Tom a little bit. It's weird that she's clinging on to this friendship so much.
It's a tough question. It's a tough question. Especially because remember when they first started dating, she like texted Ariana's mom and like basically shit talked Tom Sandoval like, he's a horrible person and he's changing Ariana and blah, blah, blah. And now she's like, he was my best friend. Yeah. She even loves having a best friend. Everyone was her best friend. Max Boyan's her best friend. Adam. Remember Adam? Her best friend. Everyone's her best friend. Just have friends. Just keep it simple.
Do you think Ariana was a best friend or just a friend? I think they were show best friends. And I think there's a difference, but it's a thing.
I think they were best friends. Like how when you're 22 and you have you're single and like you have a single girlfriend and you guys like go out all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, my bestie.
Yeah.
And then it like fizzles out.
We were best friends.
And if the show wasn't happening, Ariana and Sheena would not have talked for the last 8 years. Because their friendship would have fizzled out because they are completely different people.
Yeah, but they do show up for each other. They at least attend each other's events.
Optics. Word of the week. Yeah, word of the week. Optics.
O-P-T-I-C-S.
So for the ASMR, should I do the fake apology or the real apology?
You just do the fake apology.
I'll do the fake one. But I'll still have to whisper, but in Sandoval's voice. I don't think he's ever whispered a day in his life.
Yeah, make it breathy. Wait, hold on.
Oh, breathy. I've never done this before. I'm scared.
Everyone, please. Just if you're laying down or going to sleep, relax the mind and the body. We are now presenting ASMR, Tom's fake apology scene. Listen, man.
I said two words.
Listen, man. It's like everyone is coming at me about my NYT article, and I get that. And this doesn't excuse anything.
I added started the fucking in there.
The face. You really got into character.
I'm like, yeah, his suds were up. His suds were up. Damn. You know what? For a boring Vanderpump episode, I think we made this a lively Girls Unscripted episode.
We should give this to Bravo.
Air this instead.
Air this instead. This week was heavy. Yeah. As it deserves its time and space. That's not what you come to Girls Unscripted for.
Ain't mm-hmm. that the truth? So yeah, follow us on Instagram at Girls Unscripted Pod and YouTube. Why don't you follow us? I'm Kate Riccio on TikTok.
I'm Carolyn For Real on all platforms.
I'm kind of a sappy bitch, and this is something I like to do at the end of every episode, but I like to thank people for listening. We have a small following, but a mighty following.
We love each and every one of you.
So just thank you to everyone for listening. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Let this thing grow. Let us be able to do this.
Yeah.
More.
As a career.
Yeah, as a career, not a job.
And head to our Instagram and let us know if you think Sheena fucks with Tom or Ariana more.
And see you next week. Same time, same place.
Goodbye.
Bye.